Welcome to God and Country Biblical Exposition. On this week's program, I want to look at a big overarching subject, the false prophets, political and religious, and will the conservative right defeat the left and win the powers of government? The two subjects are related because the prophets have been telling the people, we will win. Does that sound familiar? Jeremiah chapter 14, verse 13. But our Lord God, I said, look, the prophets are telling them, you will not see the sword, nor will you have famine, but I will give you lasting peace in this place. And that verse is key to our discussion. So here is the question rephrased. Will a political right, the Christian conservatives, win the day? Will we push back the forces of leftism? Or is the plan of God to allow the proliferation of evil, either to judge America and the nations, or maybe to bring in the apocalypse, which will be the ultimate judgment upon the nations? Are we in a David and Goliath situation where a righteous minority, with God's help, will overthrow Goliath and the Philistines? Is this a matter of if we have faith, we will win? Or is something else going on? That God is removing his hand of restraint for a greater purpose? As in the case of our Lord Jesus Christ, where he was not delivered immediately, but God gave evil permission to have the upper hand. As Jesus said to those who were arresting him in the garden, this hour and the power of darkness are yours. Luke 22:53. And as Jesus gave allowance to Judas and to Satan to betray him. John 13:27, what you do, do quickly. In both cases, Jesus made these statements to remind evil people that they are powerless. It is God who decides how far evil can proceed. Job 38:10, and I placed boundaries on it and set a bolt and doors and said, thus far you shall come, but no further, and here your proud waves will stop. This is the whole point of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. God restrains evil and lawlessness, but he then removes that restraint. The lawless one, the Antichrist, can only arise when God removes his hand. And the plan is that God will remove that restraint so that evil, which is always present in the world, will be exposed and then eventually judged. Could this prophecy in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 be an explanation for what's happening in the world today? I mean, you know, what do you think is going to happen immediately before the rise of the Antichrist and the apocalypse? Exactly what we read in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. God will remove his restraint on lawlessness. Evil will proliferate and have the upper hand. The world will be fooled by the deceptions of wickedness because they do not love the truth, in order that they all may be judged who did not believe the truth, but took pleasure in wickedness. You think God has some other plan for the end of this age? I don't think so. And do you think that maybe the generation that is going to experience these things will be caught off guard because they're unaware of God's word? For many, I think so. Well, currently, there are many conservative voices, Christian and secular, who have been predicting political victories for the conservative right. And many on the right want to hear this, particularly in regard to the re-election of Donald Trump. But it really goes way beyond this. It's a whole mindset concerning what the future holds. It's this belief that leftism cannot continue for long. There must be a swing back toward conservatism. The majority cannot possibly fall for the lie of leftism, the global warming, the everything is about racism, the gender choice, deficit, spend your way to prosperity. You know, therefore, leftism that we're seeing right now has to die. This has to be an organism thrashing about right before its death. And besides, God would have us conquer kingdoms by faith. And so we will win the day, like when Gideon defeated the Midianites, or when Hezekiah defeated the Assyrians, or when the early church defeated the powers of the Roman Empire. Or take the promises of Joshua chapter 1. Be strong and of good courage. No man will be able to stand before you. Every place that the sole of your foot treads, I will give it to you. So if we claim the promises of God, Joshua chapter 1, victory should be ours, right? And of course, there's that text, 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people who are called by my name humble themselves, pray, seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then I will heal their land. Victory will be ours if Christians act. And besides, Matthew chapter 16, Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Now, other not so religious conservative pundits are not predicting victory in those terms, but they are selling hope. They refuse to speak of defeat, lest good people would give up and it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. Conservative pundits like Rush Limbaugh or Sean Hannity or Tucker Carlson would never say it's too late, America is done for, judgment is decreed. No, good people want hope. They want to save the nation. They don't want to throw in the towel. They're not ready to wipe the dust off their feet and leave. And that's to be commended. But I've said, as I said many times before in this program, why should our work and our voices be so affected by the outcome? If we only work if there is immediate success, we really don't understand Matthew 28, the Great Commission. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2. We are to preach the word in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience. We can do the same work of the Lord, the work of the prophet, regardless of whether America is going to be restored or judged. Outcomes should not matter. We're simply to be busy preaching the truth, even more so before the day of judgment, as a final sign and warning to this generation. And remember, our labors are really not for the larger majority, but for the smaller remnant that God has chosen to be saved. So this idea that we have to sell hope in America's restoration in order to inspire the troops is not as necessary for the church as some allege. So what I want us to look at in today's program is the selling of hope for America, the body politic, the prophecies of national deliverance. Even in Jeremiah's day, the false prophets were selling the hope of national restoration. Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 17. They keep saying to those who despise me, the Lord has said, you will have peace. And as for everyone who walks in the stubbornness of his own heart, they say calamity will not come upon us. Yet we know calamity did come upon ancient Israel, and it was well deserved. And Jeremiah chapter 23 is a very significant text for our day. Because before God's judgment fell upon ancient Israel, all of the false prophets were giving the people hope that it wasn't going to happen, that the nation would not be judged, that there would be political, economic, and social reversal in Israel. But Jeremiah said, no, it's not going to happen. You're stuck in your wicked ways, and the judgment is decreed. And 2 Chronicles 7:14 doesn't apply. God said to Jeremiah, Jeremiah 7:16, do not pray for this people. Do not lift up your voice, for the Lord will not hear you. And that state of affairs needs to be seriously considered as we think about our nation today. Are we living in times similar to that of Hezekiah, where Israel was delivered and given 100 more years, or are we living in times similar to that of Jeremiah, where there was immediate destruction? Evil took over. Let's begin by talking about QAnon. Back in October of 2017, there were anonymous posts on the 4chan message board by someone who went by the name of Q. This individual claimed to be someone with inside information that Donald Trump, conservatives in the military and the administration were soon going to expose and take down the cabal of evil leftists in the deep state, the federal bureaucracy, political insiders. Anons is internet lingo for those who do investigation and post classified information. It's short for anonymous. And Q is an anon, hence Q anonymous. There are about 5,000 posts over the last 3 years. They were called Q drops. Messages that the Clintons would be prosecuted for being involved in sex trafficking. Posts that there would be a major event by the Defense Department. That Dorsey would resign from Twitter. That the truth would emerge this week. That the Pope would be arrested. That President Trump was about to release secret documents. That Trump and his team have Hillary's server and all of the destroyed emails. That Trump is working out a plan, trust the plan, and that President Trump would be inaugurated on January 20th. None of that came true. But how many people actually followed Q? Not many. But a few more actually followed the sites, which either followed Q or had the same mindset, such as the Praying Medic or X-22 or retired Lieutenant General Tom McInerney. But even then, most Trump supporters weren't even familiar with those sites. The belief and hope in a conservative resurgence was already there. And that's why Q posts spread so far in the first place. People didn't have to read Q in order to believe that Trump was going to win the next election and continue to fight the left. Look at all of Trump's support. He can't just be in for one term. There's no president who has ever had rallies and attendance like President Trump. He's a Teflon president. He's a fighter. There's no way he's going to lose. So I don't believe it's correct to attribute all of this misguided enthusiasm to Q, as if the problem is that there is this charlatan named Q who is responsible for all of this wishful thinking, that America would be saved from the left and that the left would get its comeuppance. In doing some research on this, here is the underlying mindset. There is a battle between good versus evil in this world, and the good will win. And there are evil people in places of power who have been corrupted by their money and by their lust. Think of Joseph Epstein and his pedophile island and all of his political friends and his airplane named the Lolita Express, named after a 1955 novel about pedophilia. Lolita is a code word for sex with minors. And think of Mark Halpin and Kevin Spacey and Al Franken and Matt Lauer. I have an article here listing 200 powerful men who have been exposed and taken down by the Me Too movement. And that's just the tip of the iceberg. And then think about George Soros and his billions he made through hedge funds and his Open Society Foundation wanting to tear down borders. Think of Amazon's Bezos and his billions and his ownership of the Washington Post. And think of all the influence of money and bribes and immorality in Washington. People know politicians are corrupt. And there are people who want globalism and a one world government. There are people getting together behind closed doors plotting to influence the world. The suspicions about the Rockefeller family and the world bankers and the Illuminati and the Bilderbergs might be overblown, but everyone knows there's some truth to it. The Davos Group, a group of world business leaders, they do talk about a socialist global reset. They believe in economic and political globalism, and they're pushing for it. And even Pizzagate, that Comet pizzeria in Washington, D.C., is the front for sex trafficking, may be exaggerated. But let's not forget that the owner of Comet Pizza is a homosexual activist who dated David Brock, who is the head of that leftist group, Media Matters. There is abominable immorality going on here, but you can't even talk about it today. And if the priests in the Roman Catholic Church sexually abused young boys, do you think politicians are saints? So the mindset of Q is that evil has taken over our country, but there will be a reckoning very soon. A better world is coming. A 1776 revolution where justice and truth prevail. So be a patriot. Trust the plan. So we hear this as Christians. And we commend this desire for justice. And we commend the faith. And if there is a lie in the Q posts, it sure mixed with a lot of foundational Christian truth. And will it not all eventually come true? Because we know from Scripture that the wicked will get their just desserts. Psalm 37:9, evildoers will be cut off. Yet a little while and the wicked will be no more. So maybe the error here in these political prophets is not in regard to the eventual outcome, but when and how and by whom the land will be delivered. You see, the false prophets in Jeremiah's day believed good days were ahead. Peace will come, Babylon will be defeated, and the exiles will return home. But the problem is that they were saying it was going to happen now, in the current generation. The true prophet, Jeremiah, said, yes, there would be restoration. God will raise up the house of David. There will be a righteous branch someday, but only after a complete judgment on the current generation. But the people didn't want to hear that message. Do you want to take on what's really going on? Check out Patrick Byrne's website, Deep Capture. Patrick Byrne is the former CEO of Overstock.com, and he now works as an investigative journalist. He volunteered to help Sidney Powell's team in investigating election fraud. And he gives a detailed account of what he experienced in three very lengthy blog posts. It'll take a couple of hours to get through it, but it's worth the read. In short, Trump's legal team was one big mess. As expected, the $100 million that was raised to pay for the Stop the Steal legal team just lined the pockets of overpriced lawyers who didn't do much of anything. Republican insiders surrounding Trump weren't even interested in fighting election fraud. They didn't even want to believe that the election was stolen. As Patrick Byrne told President Trump, quote, I hear people are getting signals that if they're good boys and get you out the door, there will be jobs waiting for them. But if they don't, they won't be getting offers from the right law firms. They won't be getting invitations from the right country clubs. They won't be getting invited to the socialite parties in Manhattan. And Trump's response, this is what I've been dealing with for the last 4 years. Imagine what I could have gotten done if these people were actually behind me. And no, Trump wasn't working an inside plan with the military. Ultimately, the problem here is that President Trump turned down the plan laid out by Michael Flynn and Sidney Powell and went with Rudy Giuliani's failed plan. And Byrne describes Giuliani's ineptitude in the whole thing. The real story is the corruption and self-interest in Washington is not just in the Democrats, but in the Republican Party. There are few, if any, who are willing to take the risks and make a stand on the basis of moral principle. Our country is in bad shape on both sides of the aisle. There is an overestimation by QAnon hopefuls of the good moral capital available in America. It's just not there, which is exactly what the prophet Jeremiah was trying to say. How can the nation be saved? Don't you see what's happening in the streets? Jeremiah 14:14. And there is no moral majority. Jeremiah 5:1. Roam to and fro throughout the streets of Jerusalem and look now and take note and seek in her open square if you can find a man. If there is one who does justice, who seeks truth, then I will pardon her. Or Jeremiah 6:13. From the least of them, even to the greatest of them, everyone is greedy for gain. And from the prophet, even to the priest, everyone deals falsely. The mistake of the false prophets was to not truly understand the depth of the nation's moral depravity. That is why they wrongly concluded that the nation would be delivered. They had little sense of the moral corruption. They thought the nation deserved prosperity. Jeremiah 7:9, Jeremiah rebukes their fantasy this fantasy that they deserve deliverance. Will you steal, murder, and commit adultery and swear falsely and offer sacrifices to Baal and walk after other gods that you have not known and then come and stand before me in this house, which is called by my name, and say, we are delivered, that we may do all of these abominations? They wanted deliverance so they can continue in their sin. But you say, wait a minute, aren't there some good people in America? Look at how many people showed up at the Trump rallies. You know, that's a good sign. But did they all come with godly motivation? Did they all want true righteousness or just personal freedom and jobs? Now let's look at the evangelical charismatic dimension to all this. The same hope of national victory seen in QAnon is found in the theology of many charismatic groups. Churches like Bethel in California and the International House of Prayer movement have been teaching a post-millennial theology that God is going to raise up thousands of Christian prophets and Christianity is going to dominate the world. This is called Dominion Theology, the New Apostolic Reformation. It's a form of post-millennialism that the world gets better and better and then Christ comes and receives his church. You can look this up online. Quote from one site describing the theology, Christians will authoritatively take over the world in order that Jesus might then come back to be crowned. Hence, God is not in charge of deciding when Christ will return. Christians are by their evangelism. Now notice that there's a connection between the prosperity gospel theology and their post-millennialism. If you believe that Jesus promises healing now, and if you believe that your wallet is to prosper even as your soul prospers, then it flows logically that God is also promising healing to the nation, here and now. America can't be sick. We are to have faith that God will heal our nation, even as we're to have faith that God will heal our bodies now. Now, I hope you're aware of what the New Testament teaches about all this. That God is going to heal us, but the promise of healing comes at the second coming of Christ. 1 Peter 1:13. Fix your hope completely on the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ. And Romans chapter 8, the creation and our bodies will be restored at the coming of Christ. And yes, there will be a coming age of peace and health and prosperity, but it's when Christ returns. But first, in this world, we're going to have tribulation. All the healing comes when Christ returns. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, relief comes to us when the Lord Jesus Christ will be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. But for now, the prophecy is that we will have tribulation and that at the end of this age, there'll be a great apostasy and a great outbreak of evil. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. This post-millennial hope is not a biblical picture of the future. Now, connected to all of this charismatic theology, of post-millennialism and dominionism, are charismatic prophets claiming to have received a prophetic word from God that Trump was going to win the second term. Not in the future, in 2024, but right now. Now, of course, some Christians were saying this merely on the basis of political foresight, but there were others saying that they actually had a word from the Lord on this. Back in September, when I heard about all of these prophecies of Trump's victory, it really concerned me because they were for me a sign that Trump was not going to win the election. That's how much I doubt the legitimacy of these prophets. So that I find that whatever they say is not going to come true because God is going to work to prove them wrong. Now, just to be clear, I believe there's some good evidence that this election was stolen and the facts may come out and somehow put Trump back in office. I don't know. But it's certainly not going to be because of the word of these prophets. Remember Mark Taylor? He was the fellow in that movie produced by Liberty University called The Trump Prophecy. I did a YouTube on this, number 48, and I received some kickback for not believing it. The movie was all about how Mark Taylor had a vision from God back in around 2011 that Donald Trump was going to be the next president when no one thought it was possible. But in 2020, Mark Taylor again prophesied that Trump would win re-election. Well, so much for being a true prophet. A quote here from the Epoch Times, Taylor said, "God will clean up the news media. God is looking for his people right now. The millionaires and the billionaires will be investing and buying out the news media, taking them over. God will rebuild them and restore them, as there is no spirit of truth in them right now. Trump's victory is just the beginning. The church will thrive. America will see a great movement of God. Trump will win a second term of presidency." Here's an article by someone who took the time to compile all of the predictions by these charismatic leaders. Quote, "What do Pat Robertson, Denise Goulet, Kat Kern, Greg Locke, Mark Taylor, Tara Bo West, Kevin Zedai, Mark Rogers, Paula White, Chris Vallotton, Kirk Landry, and Jeremiah Johnson all have in common? Answer, all claim that God told them that Donald Trump was going to win a second term." The prophet Ezekiel, a contemporary of Jeremiah, also had to deal with the false prophets in Israel who are predicting the saving of Israel. And Ezekiel wrote in Ezekiel 13:3, "Thus saith the Lord, woe to the foolish prophets who are following their own spirit and have seen nothing." And that is what appears to have happened in these charismatic prophets. They were mistaking their own feelings and their own wishes for the voice of the Spirit of God. And that's what they're taught to do in charismatic circles. Your intuitions are apparently from the Spirit of God. I remember a number of years ago, a charismatic man told me that I was going to have, was it either 4 or 6 visitors Sunday morning, because he had that number going through his mind. Well, that's what he had been taught in the charismatic churches he attended. I was recently listening to a professing Christian prophet trying to explain how he got the prophecies of Trump's election wrong. And he quoted 1 Corinthians 13. "We know in part and we prophesy in part." In other words, the overall victory is real. America will be saved. We just were a little foggy on the details. Then he went on to claim that last year, the name Kamala Harris kept coming to his mind, but his staff dissuaded him from considering her role in the future. Michael Brown, he's a charismatic political activist, an even good evangelical. He's a moderate charismatic and rather solid in his views. But he issued an apology for his own Trump prophecies and for getting caught up in the Trump fever and wishful thinking. On his website, thestream.org, he has an article entitled, "A Strong Appeal to Those Who Prophesied Trump's Re-election." Bear with me as I read this. It's worth the time to quote the article. "What you prophesied didn't come to pass. There is not an alternative spiritual reality in which Trump is still functioning as president. Nothing is going to change in a month or a year. It's over. Even if there were massive election fraud, the results of this election will not be overturned. Donald Trump will not serve a second consecutive term. Face the facts. Be accountable before God and man. Take the hits that will be coming and humble yourself before the Lord and his people. This is not a time for excuses. This is not a time to concoct spiritual myths. And this is absolutely not the time to blame others. If you prophesied falsely, you and you alone are to blame. Understand why you prophesied falsely and own it. Maybe you did not intend to mislead. Maybe you are acting in sincerity and integrity, truly believing that the Lord had spoken and doing your best to stand firm in the faith no matter what. After all, you thought to yourself, isn't that what faith does? Maybe you are so grieved over where the radical left was going that you prophesied what you desired, namely the re-election of Trump. Maybe you were caught up in the power of the group, finding affirmation in others saying the same thing. Maybe you prophesied what people wanted to hear. Maybe you got caught up in a partisan political spirit. Maybe you looked to Trump as a political messiah and God answered you out of the idolatry of your own heart. Or maybe you fell prey to demonic deception. Whatever the cause, you prophesied falsely, and now you need to own it. The last thing you should do is feel sorry for yourself and claim that you're being persecuted. Quite the contrary, the reality is that you have misled many. As a result of your false prophecies, many believers are experiencing a crisis of faith right now. Who will be there to pick up the pieces? After all, they wonder, how could all the prophets be wrong? To the extent that you urged your hearers to hold on to the very end, to that extent, you're responsible for bringing them to this point of crisis. Worse still, some of you issued prophetic threats to those who questioned your words. The Lord does not take it lightly when his people are abused like this. He will hold you responsible for misrepresenting him. So many of God's people are hurting, and the world is mocking us, thinking that our faith in Jesus is just as false as these failed Trump prophecies. One young man posted online that he had been telling his family, none of whom were believers, that Trump would be reelected based on the words of the prophets. He thought it would glorify the Lord when Trump was miraculously inaugurated. Now he says he doesn't think he can ever talk to them about the Lord again. Do you realize the damage that has been done? Unquote, Michael Brown. So, in view of these failures, are these prophecies over and done with? No, I don't believe so, because the underlying theological error still remains. There is still this false view of what is to come, even a very denial of the book of the Revelation. Did you hear about the two presidents prophecy? It was a prophecy given by Kim Clement, a prophetic preacher who died a number of years ago. But he prophesied the following, quote, "And they shall say, but now there is a second president. How can we have two presidents? An unusual thing, isn't it?" says the Spirit of the Lord. "Why would it be that one with a double mind will stand up and face the people? No, they shall say, we have two presidents. What do we do now? Fear not, for God has said, as I have promised before, this is my nation, and I will change things according to the time and the season. And I tell you, I will expose and reveal things that have been hidden so that my nation can move into this next election and to the next phase with victory and honor and glory, saith the Lord of hosts." Now, the actual context, this reference to two presidents, is that the current president was two-faced. But it sure sounds like, for some people, that this could apply to Biden being in office and Trump being the true president. But what we should really notice in this statement is the point that America is God's nation, and that America will move into the next phase of victory, honor, and glory. That sounds very much like QAnon, and it sounds very much like the false prophets Jeremiah had to address. The false prophets who were saying that the people would not see calamity, but Israel's best days were ahead of her. Jeremiah chapter 14, verse 13. "But ah, Lord God, I said," look, the prophets are telling them, "you will not see the sword, nor will you have famine, but I will give you lasting peace in this place. Then the Lord said to me, the prophets are prophesying falsely in my name. I have neither sent them, nor commanded them, nor spoke to them. They are prophesying to you a false vision, divination, futility, and deception of their own mind." Wow. What a difference between what religious people perceive the future will be and what the Lord says the future will be. Now, as people of faith, we want to believe in the miraculous, in prophets. I mean, consider what we already believe about prophets and the miracles in the Bible. So, those who believe in the supernatural and divine are naturally led to believe and trust prophets today who speak in the name of the Lord. But we must remember that the Bible supersedes and judges anything said by current day prophets. And what I want us to learn and consider is this biblical account of Jeremiah and Ezekiel, that the false prophets, prophesied national success and revival, while the true prophets, Jeremiah and Ezekiel, said that it's not so, that the nation would be judged. And it looks like that biblical teaching is something very relevant to today. Not only does this warn us not to believe false prophets, whether religious or political, but it's telling us that we should be prepared for evil to proliferate, even for persecution to arise against God's people. I mean, the prophecy is that the Antichrist will wear down the saints. Daniel chapter 7, verse 25, and Revelation 13, 7. It was given to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. So how do you think this age is going to end before the coming of Christ? Here's a question I know I'm going to get. How do we know whether we are in times like that of Jeremiah, where the prophecy is of the coming destruction of the nation, or whether we are in times like that of Joshua, where the prophecy is that we will win and the nation will be established? Knowing the difference comes by discerning the moral condition of the nation at these various times. In Joshua's day, the people were still following Jehovah God. In Jeremiah's day, it was Baal worship, abortion, immorality, godlessness. So in Jeremiah 23, Jeremiah makes the case against the hope given by these false prophets. And his argument is that Israel will not be saved because, despite the optimism of the false prophets, the nation was too evil. It didn't deserve deliverance. The only solution was judgment. Jeremiah 23:10, the land is full of adulterers. Their course also is evil. Their might is not right. Verse 11, for both prophet and priest are polluted. Even in my house, I have found their wickedness, declares the Lord. Then in Jeremiah 23:14, there is the committing of adultery and the walking in falsehood. No one turns back from his wickedness. And then this key point, all of them have become like Sodom and her inhabitants like Gomorrah. And that's the key sign that a nation will not be delivered but is ripe for judgment, when a nation behaves like Sodom and Gomorrah. So Jeremiah 23:16, do not listen to the words of the prophets who keep saying to the people, people who have abandoned God, you will have peace. My understanding, my years of studying Jeremiah and Ezekiel has given me a much different outlook than popular religion. It's kept me from being taken in by false prophets. And being immersed in scripture always saves us from error. Whenever it's time for the Antichrist and the Antichrist spirit to arise in this world, and I'm not saying it's this next week, you can be guaranteed that there will be false prophets, religious and secular, who will be doing exactly what was being done in Jeremiah's day, predicting peace and safety when actually destruction is on the horizon. And that sounds familiar, doesn't it? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 3, when they say peace and safety, sudden destruction will come upon them. Again, I ask the question, how do you think this age is going to end? The insanity we're seeing now, the satanic worldview, is what will precede the coming apocalypse. What is happening now is not a mistake. It's exactly what our Lord said would happen. Matthew chapter 24, lawlessness will increase. That doesn't mean we give up. It means we fight the good fight of faith all the more. It means we have a greater platform of ministry. And of course, the goal is to save people for Christ's kingdom, not to save America. And we will overcome the evil one. As it says in Revelation chapter 12, we'll overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony, and because we do not love our lives, even when faced with death. We are actually living in great times of ministry. A wide door of effectual service is open to us. Keep the faith, stand firm, and may Jesus Christ reign.